chapter 19. Tyria's first dawn aboard the purloined Petunia was heralded by a rude awakening. The Ottermaid was sound asleep in the little galley by the bows when the stentorian bellowing of Cuthbert Frunk W. Bloodpaw cut through her slumbers like a bucket of cold water being thrown into her face.
Ha-ha! Belay your bosels and begin burning breakfast! Fire up your galley stove and get some victuals underway!
Pandion stayed at his perch on the masthead, regally ignoring the hare's nautical tirade, which was directed at Tyria. Cuthbert watched as she staggered out of the galley onto the swaying deck. Then he continued,
"Top of the morning, shipmate Tilly! The sun's in the sky, the waves neath our keel, and a fair wind at our stern. So let me read you the articles of this vessel. Being as I'm captain, the navigating and steering are my task, and there ain't a bully afloat does it better than me. Old Pandion up yon is the lookout and fish catcher. Now, cock your lugs and listen, me briny beauty. You're the first mate, head cook, bottle washer, deck scrubber, and scoff burner."
Tyria felt appropriate to throw a salute.
"Aye, aye, Captain. What's your orders?"
Cuthbert scowled.
"Orders? Are you still asleep, Tilly? Your captain craves victuals, so let's see what sort of grub you can dish up. Jump to it, me hearty."
The Ottermaid decided to play along with the eccentric hare and adopted her best seagoing manner.
"Aye, aye, Captain. I'll whump you up a prime scuff, sir. But you'll excuse my asking, Captain. I thought we were bound westward, but we're sailing south. I can still see the coast. Why is that, Captain?"
Cuthbert kept the vessel on its southward tack, replying,
"That's cause we're head on course for the Mount of Salamandastron, Tilly girl. Got to call in and pay me respects to old Lord Mandoral afore we turn west into the main. Now get those victuals scorching afore I throws ye to the jellyfish."
The small galley was equipped with a water barrel and a slate oven. Tilly was not familiar with cooking, having been served superbly preferred meals by Abbey cooks all her life. So she set about experimenting. Using the heap of stores that the Gowsome had loaded aboard, Tyria soon had a fire going with sea coal, wood and charcoal, which she added to the stove embers. First she took carrots, barley, white turnips, lentils, cabbage leaves and dandelion roots and chopped them finely. Then she added sea salt and crushed peppercorns. Finally, she tossed the lot into a pan of boiling water and allowed it to simmer. After a while, the concoction began to thicken, as Tyria continued stirring away, trying to ignore her ravenous captain's shouts.
"Tilly, you plank-ruddered swab! Ain't me victuals ready yet?"
Tyria shouted back, exchanging insults with Cuthbert.
"No, they aren't, you lollop-lugged old tyrant! And they won't be ready until I say they are. So there!"
She expected the hare to come back at her with some salty threat about being thrown to the sharks. But instead, he merely chortled and broke out into a comical ditty.
"Don't steal your grandpa's wooden leg and run away to sea. And leave your family shared in salty tears. The captain only needs ye, cause his ship ain't got to sail. And you was born with two big floppy ears. You're innocent and stupid, so stay home with me, oh child. Cause if he takes a voyage with sailors rough, you'd soon be using language that'd rot your grandma's flock. And roaring out for Skilly and Plum Duff. For a life at sea is hard and rather lonely, especially if you've got no handkerchief. With no mother hovering near to scrub out your scruffy hair, you'll catch the lurkey and you'll come to grief. Stay home, don't butt off for the foam. Stay home, don't break your aged mother's heart. And use your grandpa's wooden leg to stir the porridge with, and grandma's teeth to crimp the apple tart.